It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. Across America, cities and towns are recognizing the value of the arts in boosting the economy. Fringe festivals, which began in Edinburgh, Scotland, are showing up in more U.S. cities. And this year marks the first Pittsburgh Fringe Festival. Joining us with details about this cultural event is Dan Steiker, founder and executive artistic director of the Pittsburgh Fringe Festival. Dan, welcome to Essential Pittsburgh.
Thanks for having me. I'm excited to be here.
Define what a fringe festival is.
So a fringe festival on its basic level is actually just anything on the fringe of mainstream theater. But it, as far as the festival goes, it can include anything as far as new theater. It can include dance shows. It can do anything that you may think of. But it's not typically something you would see, say, in Heinz Hall.
Okay, but I'm going to need you to be more specific here because we, you know, dance... Dances can be pretty mainstream. You know, fringe can mean a lot of things. What are the things that are happening here? What are people going to see, for example, that they may not have seen before?
Well, in our festival, we have over 25 different shows. And out of those, 17 are world premieres. So you will never have seen these shows anywhere in a theater except for during Fringe. We even have some actual companies who were created because of the Fringe Festival. So it's more of the stuff you will never see or ones that are reimagined that makes Fringe special.
So of all these new works, where did they come from? Did you commission writers? You know, who wrote these plays? Where did they originate?
Well, our festival is pretty unique. We actually are unjuried and uncensored. So in the unjuried process, we actually asked for applications from different companies, and then we pulled names out of a hat. So we didn't actually have any selection process except for the hat process.
How many submissions did you get?
Over 44.
And so you couldn't, if you looked at that and you thought, well, we don't know if we can do all 44?
Well, it all depends on the amount of venues that we were able to have. And Councilman Dan Gilman was one of the people who helped us settle on a neighborhood of Shadyside, of course. So with his help, we were able to start finding venues in that neighborhood that could support different shows.
So were you thinking, let's try to do all 44, or did you have to whittle it down?
We had to whittle it down.
Thus the pulling them out of the hat.
Right.
As good a process as any, really.
Right. You never know what you're going to get, but it makes it exciting with that as well.
And what are some of the shows people might – what are some of the plays that people might see?
So there's a show called This Betrayal Will Be Our End by Joe Medina. He's a musician from San Francisco. So he actually created a show from his album that he has created, but he's not bringing any music into it. So I think it's a rather unique way he's doing a monologue to show his process of how he created his album. So that's a unique show. There's also Pittsburghers who are in the festival. Elko, who is a pretty popular chamber music, they're partnering with the Shana Simmons Dance Company to go ahead and create sounds, and then the dancers then are dancing to those sounds and also various other music.
Sounds like improv, kind of.
There are actually some improv shows in the festival. Forkful of Noodles, which does a web series, typically is doing a live version on it as well.
We are talking with Dan Steiker, founder and executive artistic director of the Pittsburgh Fringe Festival. It's happening now at venues all around Pittsburgh and continues through this weekend, got underway last weekend. Why did you want to bring a Fringe Festival to Pittsburgh?
I lived in New York in the late 90s and early 2000, and I fell into a theater company that did a lot of street theater and political theater. And that happened to also do a lot of fringe festivals as well. They did a couple of New York International Fringe Festivals. Being a part of that process was very interesting to me. So when I came back to Pittsburgh in early 2001, I've always wanted to have that process here in Pittsburgh. It's an exciting festival. It creates great theater, and it helps people think as well. And so I started thinking way back in 2001 of bringing a festival and seeing if anyone else would also want to do the Fringe Festival. There was a lot of interest, but the interest level kind of stayed at that, at just the, yeah, it seems interesting. And then I went back to school. And then basically in 1 year ago, I decided just to start the Fringe Festival.
You felt like that was, it was time.
Well, it was definitely time. I think Pittsburgh, as far as the theater that's around is more unique than what you would see on the Broadway stage. You know, there's like Bare Bones Productions, the Dog and Pony Show. Those type of theaters, I think, are starting to find an audience. No Name Players, who's actually in our festival, they're starting to find an audience. So it's kind of the perfect storm of that audience and that type of theater. That
sort of the blossoming of the storefront theaters and the very organic theater productions. Now, when we talk about the Fringe Festival, it goes back to years ago in Edinburgh, Scotland. Describe some of the origins of this.
Well, the Edinburgh Festival, the International Arts Festival, was created after World War II. And it was a juried selection process. So there were some theater companies who actually were not invited to join that festival. So they got together and decided to create their own festival around the International Edinburgh Fringe Festival. And then within the second year, they called it a Fringe Festival because it was on the fringe of that festival.
And how does our Fringe Festival stack up with others, do you think?
Being brand new, we're actually one of the larger new festivals that are coming on board. Most start with about 5 to 10 productions. So we're actually pretty good with 25 productions on our docket.
And there are Fringe Festivals in a number of cities. Why hasn't Pittsburgh had one, do you think?
I think it's that educating of the audience of what theater can be as far as the more unique theater. And so also just the actual people in Pittsburgh who are creating the theaters is just the perfect time as far as the amount of unique theater. So I think it's a couple of different things. In 2003, I actually started a theater company that had pretty much a good critical component. You know, the critics loved us, but our audiences were still small, you know, because, you know, if you're not known, it's very hard to gain an audience, which also another thing that Fringe does is help gain that audience.
Sort of bring attention to the smaller theaters.
Exactly.
You said something earlier that I thought was interesting about how you want people to think. So much of entertainment today, and you see this with, you know, and it's the time of the year when blockbuster films are coming out, and you know, there's that old saying about, you know, just go ahead and check your brain at the door. You know, the idea that entertainment should be escapist, that you should be able to just kind of check out, you know, and give yourself over to eye candy or special effects or whatever it happens to be. So you're coming at it from a different point of view. What is it that you're finding that indicates to you that people really want to be engaged in a different way and want to be more thoughtful about what they're seeing, they're processing material differently?
Well, I think right now we are all tied to our cell phones, our smartphones. And so it's, you know, the chance of looking up and creating a conversation, which then engages you outside of that, the tech sphere. You know, you're actually creating a conversation in the theater space, which then should continue after the theater space to maybe a bar next door or whatever, a restaurant, to make sure that you are able to look up from your device. I think people are becoming very complacent with smartphones and technology, so it's just another thing to help create that conversation.
So this weekend, we have about 30 seconds or so left. Give us some of the highlights of what people have to look forward to.
Well, there's 66 different performances, or 66 performances of 25 different shows in 2.5 days. We have Serotonin Syndrome Productions coming, originating actually in Ireland, that are coming to do their show, which is about the serotonin syndrome. So it's there's a lot to do of different things as well.
Well, we'll look forward to that, and that's all happening at probably more venues than we have time to name at this point, but around Pittsburgh. And you have a website people can go to.
It's www.pittsburghfringe.org.
We'll link to it on our website, WESA.FM. Dan Steiker, founder and executive artistic director of the Pittsburgh Fringe Festival, thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
And thank you for listening to Essential Pittsburgh. You can check out our website at ESSPGH and WESA.FM. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. So long for now.